blessing. Well, this morning I want to thank y'all for being willing to make some adjustments and changes so that we could do something. It was a little bit different with this stewardship series that we called Living Generously, and it was, of course, based on the truth of God's Word about our hearts being created to glorify God by investing in kingdom work, investing in what God's doing, investing in making disciples. And that's what we've been watching this little series about, because our hearts would rather hoard than give. You know, we are in our sinful state more selfish than we are selfless. And so we've been watching a family that has been given a lot, a great deal of wealth, the Donovan family, and a transformation that Frank's been going through, the husband, about his view on wealth and really how God intends it to be used. And so we've seen him get a lesson from his son, who was willing to give away something that he's thought very valuable, that airplane, to a missionary child, when he wasn't willing to give away anything that he thought was valuable. His gardener, Ray, that you've met, has been instrumental, an instrument by God to use to help him see life in a different way, wealth in a different way, what God's doing in a different way. Got them going to a soup kitchen, and there at the soup kitchen, he's encountered a number of different people that he could help and are that need help. And so God's working on it. Now, last week we saw that his wife, who had been headed down to the soup kitchen, was mugged and is in the hospital. So we're going to pick it up there and continue. So let's look to the screen.
But our top story this morning is, of course, Wall Street, as the markets have been hammered since the opening bell. After a brief bounce, things are continuing to head south, leaving many wondering where the bottom will be.
Alan, today is not the day to have trouble getting hold of you. Please give me a call back as soon as you get this.
Hey, how you feeling?
Hungry.
Well, that's a good thing, right?
I think so. I'm gonna get something in a little bit. Where are you going?
Ray's asked me to go down to the soup kitchen for a little bit to help out, and then I have got to run by the office and take care of some business.
You and the kids have been down there quite a bit lately, haven't you?
Look, no one's going to blame you if you don't want to go back.
No, I think it's great. I'm looking forward to seeing everyone again.
Yeah. Okay. Love you.
Love you.
Hey, remind me that I need to discuss some things with you when I get back, all right?
Sure.
Stock market killing you today.
Oh, yeah, man. My 4167K is taking a beating.
I know that's true.
Mrs. Donovan.
Hey, sorry I'm late, Ray. What's all this?
It's a beautiful day, Mr. Donovan. Can you feel the sunlight just streaming in?
You mean the sunlight coming through those holes in the ceiling?
But not for long. Those grants we applied for came through. This place is getting new life.
Oh, that is excellent news, Ray. You guys deserve this.
That's not even the best part. Those men there are from Somerset Construction. I don't know if they're getting some kind of matching dollars or what, but they're looking to hire as many folk from the kitchen as possible for the labor, even offering training for certain positions.
Well, let me know if they have room for a volunteer. I got a hammer. At least I think I got a hammer.
That market stuff that everybody's talking about, how's that affecting you?
Ray, I'm sorry, I gotta take this, it's urgent. Alan, hey. Yeah, it's urgent. Okay, can you come by the house a little bit later? Perfect. Talk to you then.
The general consensus seems to be relief that the day is over. The fear now is that the Asian markets will respond too strongly to today's sell-off, which could trigger a...
Hey.
Hey. By the way, I've called Alan to come over here for a meeting. He's going to come over a little bit later. There's some things that I wanted to go over with you first. Make sure we're on the same page.
Okay.
Your accident made a big impact on me. I remember sitting there just staring at you, waiting for you to recover. I was powerless. I remember thinking to myself, everything that I tried to do to protect this family, everything. And you know what? It just felt silly. Ray mentioned something the other day. We were talking about the parable of the talents and how out of all the three servants who were asked to look over their master's money, the only one who was rebuked was the one who had buried the money and then returned it the same way he received it. The one that played it safe. I want to take risks. If God owns everything and we're willing to risk it all for him and it doesn't work out, well, it's just like moving money from one of his pockets to the other. It might mean a lot of changes, and that's why I have Alan coming over. So what do you think?
I think Ray's the best gardener we've ever had. So how does all this market stuff going on affect what you've been thinking?
What market stuff?
Hey, Ray.
Hi, Ms. Donovan. How you doing?
Good.
I just came by to reseed a couple of patches in the yard, and I wanted to give you a little present, in case you couldn't find yours.
Wow, this is a beauty. You swing that in, right?
Right.
How are things going down there?
You know, right after you left this morning, we got a call, said that there were holes in the grant application, and they wouldn't even review it until we corrected it.
Government.
Yeah, right. I was trying to figure out how Somerset Construction could already be on site and haven't even reviewed the grant application.
I don't know. I guess you'll have to ask them.
Well, that's the thing. I did. No one over there seemed to know anything about any grants.
Strange. Hey, I got a family meeting, so I got to run too.
Yeah, right. One thing I want to ask. Doesn't your company own Somerset?
I got so much stuff on the plate right now, and I really don't want to talk business.
Yeah, I understand.
Thanks for the hammer, Ray.
You're welcome, Mr. Donovan.
Sorry about that, Alan. You were saying?
So, I know how important security is to you, so I've prepared some ideas to fortify your portfolio in light of today's events.
Maybe I wasn't that clear with you earlier today, Alan. We actually had some of our own ideas, as a family.
Okay, sure.
Our goal is to increase liquidity across all areas. We want to start by dismantling our...
Intentionally.
Defective.
Grandma Trust.
We'd like to have that charity discussion you suggested the other day.
So what do you think? Can you help us out?
Father, we do thank you for that little video, little movie series that challenges us, that causes us to think about what you've given wealth for and where you're working and how you want us to use all of the resources, whether it be money or time or energy or talents. Lord, we know that you've invested in us and now it's our job to invest in others that you might be glorified. That the gospel might be seen, born in us, and reproduced in us and others. Now, Father, we pray for grace now as we continue to think about what it means to have seeds planted and reproduced for your glory. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. One of the greatest joys that the Lord's given me in my life is every year I get to go to Honduras with a team led by Bobby and Liz Martin, started by Brother Bob. I don't know, 20-something years ago, probably almost 30 years ago now. I'm telling you, go down there and you see people just don't have anything. They don't have anything. Many times they don't even have shoes. It's poverty like we haven't seen in America. You know, we talk about poverty in America, and yes, there are places that are impoverished in America, but by a different standard than what we see when we go to a third world country like Honduras. And I know many of you have been with us, and many of you have seen that. And we go, and one of the things we do is we bring medical care to them. Usually we go up in the mountains or sometimes down on the beach line shore, places that are extremely impoverished. And we give them medical care. Doctors go, nurses go, dentists go, folks to help contain the crowd. And it's unbelievably important because we're bringing something that they need. And not only are we bringing medical care, but we're bringing gospel care. We're bringing spiritual care because myself and some of the other preachers will go and we'll share the gospel. And it's amazing how receptive that is. And so it's a blessing to see people being blessed by things that you have. But you know, so often they bless us. And one of the things they bless us with, there was a few years ago that the folks in the village actually brought us coffee. Coffee beans that they had grown. And I got to tell you, one of the blessings that we received, not only in going down there and giving to them, but is one of the things that I enjoy coffee. And I love good coffee. And they have some of the best coffee in the world in Honduras. And so now I actually bring a suitcase empty just so I can fill it up with coffee and bring it back. Probably shouldn't tell the custom agents that I do that, but I do that, and then Misty and I drink that Honduran coffee all year long. What's interesting about coffee in Honduras in that Caribbean, Central America and the Caribbean area is that it's known for coffee. It's a huge part of its economy, but you know, it's not native to that area. And so I was thinking about seeds this week, and the thought of coffee came to mind and how much we're blessed by Honduran coffee. So I went back and did a little research on the history of coffee in America. How many of you drank some coffee this morning? Enjoyed it? Let me tell you how you got that coffee. Let me make sure I get my dates right here. Well, it was back in the before the turn of the first millennium that a shepherd in Ethiopia was watching over his goats and saw his goats eating some red berries that he hadn't seen before, and the goats were acting a bit more chipper than they normally act. And he looked at those things and said, that's kind of interesting. So he goes and he takes some of the berries and he chews on them himself, and he likes that way it makes him feel a lot. And so he takes it to his monk. He had the chief monk in town, monastery in town, and he's very excited about the way he feels, and he gives the berries to the monk, and the monk thinks that he's possessed, and these must be devil berries, and so he takes the berries and just throws them in the fire, condemns them, devil's food. What happens when you throw coffee beans in a fire? They roast it. And the smell of the coffee beans filled that monastery so much so that another somewhat rebellious monk saw what was going on, smelled the smell of roasting coffee beans, and he went and stole the rest of the beans. He had the idea of warming up water and putting the beans in hot water, and voila, coffee was born. Hallelujah! And it blesses us every day. It's just another interesting story that I read as I was reading about the history of coffee was so coffee began to spread through the Eastern world, primarily being imported into areas that could import it and buy it and whatnot. But it was in 1713 that the mayor of Amsterdam. Brought a young coffee plant to King Louis XIV as a gift. Well, King Louis XIV knew that this was a very precious gift, coffee plant. So he took the young plant and he put it in the Royal Botanical Gardens, planted it. And there it stayed planted for 10 years, guarded, protected, kept safe, and growing. Until a French naval officer that had been back home from being overseas in the Caribbean at an island, Martinique. He was back, and he had this idea that, man, coffee would be good overseas, back over here toward us. And so he asked the king if he could have a sampling, a cutting of that coffee plant, where the king summarily said, no. Well, he waited until the king had a party that week, and all of the king and all of his men and all of his folks got all liquored up, and his name was Gabriel Matthew de Clau. Now, that's, I'm sure, butchered. But he scales the wall of the Royal Botanical Garden there in France, and he steals just a cutting, a little sampling, a seedling of the coffee plant. Well, then he hightails it to his ship, where he quickly is sets off back to Martinique in the Caribbean. Now, on the trip, he put it in a glass case, and he would guard it and protect it. He'd bring it out for sunlight, and he'd give it a little bit of water. And well, this other crewman saw what he had. He knew the value of what he had. So he took out a dagger and got in a brawl over this coffee plant. Now, while thankfully the coffee plant wasn't injured, the crewman was put in shackles and put down below, so the coffee plant was safe. Thank you, Lord. But then pirates came. And pirates began to overtake the ship, and it took over a day for them to fight off the pirates. And not long after the pirates, a storm came. It almost sunk the ship, so bad that most all of the fresh water was lost. The glass case that he had been keeping the plant in was destroyed. And so he had to give up much of the little ration that he had of fresh water for his plant to try to keep it alive. Days passed, weeks passed, and the plant was almost dead until they saw the shores of Martinique. They made it to the shores, and he cultivated that plant for 20 months before the first harvest was ready. And it blessed the people around the island so much so that within 3 years, the entire area of Martinique, St. Dominique, and Guadeloupe was filled with coffee plantations. The research that I did, it says that within the next 50 years, some 19 million trees blossomed out, were born out of that one little sampling, stolen and protected, guarded, planted, cultivated, and reproducing. And thus, you had a nice morning with a good cup of Joe. Amen? Now, why would I tell you that story? Just to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, seeds are not meant to be hoarded. They're meant to be planted. They're meant to be cultivated, and seeds that are planted, cultivated, and reproduced can change the world. And it's true with coffee seeds, coffee beans, and it's also true with gospel seeds. So that's what we're about. We're people who have been given much, but with much responsibility. And what we've been given is not meant to be hoarded. It's not meant to be kept and guarded just for us to enjoy, but it's given to us to be planted, to be cultivated, to be used for a much greater purpose than just our existence, but for the glory of God to change the world. We see it in the story that we watched, the story of the Donovans, Ray and his family. They had been given much, but they were building a little kingdom. And along the way, Frank realized that what he had been given hadn't been given to him just for his own enjoyment. Yes, God was going to use that to bless his family. God was going to use that to care for his family. But it was wrong to hoard it and build his kingdom when God had given it to them to build God's kingdom. And so we start seeing a change in his heart, and he decided to start using those seeds to plant not only, not in his kingdom, but in the gospel garden. And as they planted in the gospel garden, you know what happens when we plant resources in the gospel garden? Well, the irony is you don't get back what you planted necessarily. You know, I'm not a big planter. I mean, I don't know much about, I knew I didn't like working in the garden when I was a kid. My dad made me go pull turnip greens and stuff. I didn't like that at all. But I know this, that if you plant corn, you get corn. If you plant apple seeds, you get apples. Plant watermelons, you get watermelons. But I can tell you this, when you plant time, money, and resources into the gospel garden, you don't necessarily get time, money, and resources back. You get changed lives back. And that's what we're about. That's what we want. We get disciples of Jesus Christ back. Yes, we invest money, we invest time, we invest resources. And what do we get back? We get joy back. We get purpose back. We get the thing that gets us out of bed in the morning and causes us to live with gospel delight back. And which, by the way, that's not something you can get unless you plant in what God's doing in the world. All right? You can't get Holy Spirit blessing from earthly means. We only get that from the working of God through His people. And that's what God's doing in the church. That's what God's doing in the world. He wants us to invest who we are, what we are, what He has invested in us, in others, so that in the same way our lives have been changed, others can be changed. I want you to think for a moment. What has God invested in you? What has God invested in you? The Bible says that we were lost. It says that we were sinners. It says that we were depraved. It says that we were separated from God. We were under the rightful wrath of God, that we were headed for hell. We were hell bound. We were dead in our sins. All those different things. And you know what God did? God invested Himself in you. God gave His Son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever would believe should not perish but have everlasting life. That He invested Himself. So that we might live. So that our lives could be changed. And now what are we are to be about as His children? People that take on the very character of God so that we invest in self. So just as God made disciples out of us, God can use us to make disciples out of others. That's what we do. That's what we're about. Seeds being cultivated, planted, cultivated, reproduced, changing the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 through 7 says, the point is this, Paul says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Somebody said this one time, and I thought that's a pretty good point. He says, you know what? I've never met an unhappy person that was known as a giver. Have you? A person that just gave of their heart, gave of their time and resources, that just loved to give, that was chronically unhappy. Well, it says right here, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully, because we sow, we get back so much in return. Each one must give as it's decided in his heart, as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, when it comes to our giving, we shouldn't be forced to give out of duty. Like, oh, God wants you. Well, somebody said one time, well, if you can't be joyful about giving, don't give. I go, oh, don't. Time out. If you can't be joyful about giving, give, because the glory of God in the world is essential. He deserves it, all right? And then repent over the fact that you couldn't be joyful in doing the thing that you were created to do. You see what I'm saying? There should be joy in our hearts through giving, because we've been given to much more than what we ever need. God loves a cheerful giver. You know why He loves a cheerful giver? Because God is a cheerful giver. And God's able to. You say, well, if I give away, I'm not going to have enough. Well, really, verse 8 says, and God's able to make all grace abound to you. Let me ask you, is that enough for you, all grace? Can you survive on all the grace of God? I suspect we can. Make all grace abound to you. So that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, is that enough for you? Is having all sufficiency in all things in all times, at all times enough for you? Yeah. Why does he do that? Why does he say, hey, look, if you'll live knowing that I'm the one that cares for you, I'm the one that provides for you, and I'm giving to you so that you can turn around and invest in others for the glory of God, for the advance of the kingdom, why is he guaranteeing that you'll have everything that you need? Here's why. The last part. So that you may abound in every good work. So that you may abound in every good work. Verse 7. I didn't get that on the screen. I'm sorry about that. But that's it, see? The whole point of God giving to us is so that the work of God can abound through us. I'll show you another place that it says that, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Many of you know this passage, for by grace you have been saved through faith. We love that. Yes, it's by faith, grace that we're saved, and our faith. And this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not as a result of work, so that no one may boast. And we usually stop there. But it goes on to say, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For good works that God has prepared that we should walk in them. Do you see the connection between verse 10 of Ephesians 2 and verse 8, of 2 Corinthians 9? God saves us for his glory through faith that we might accomplish the work that he's prepared for us. And then in verse 8 it says here that he's given us everything that we need that we might abound in every good work. Hear what he's saying. For us to accomplish what God has created us to accomplish, the good works that he's laid out beforehand for us to accomplish, then we have to live investing in his kingdom. We have to live kingdom first. Can you do that? Can you live kingdom first? I got to tell you, it's hard because usually we live, I just live my kingdom first. And no, God says no. His kingdom first, his glory first. And then you have the absolute confidence that you'll have everything you need for your life. It's a shift in priorities. It's what happens when we spread seeds. I love that picture of Ray throwing the seeds up in celebration of what God's done in the Donovan's life through him. Because the Donovan's, they had everything, but they had nothing. Ray, he had nothing, but he had everything. And what did he do? Well, he lived his life investing. He invested in the soup kitchen. He invested in people. And then he invested in this family that he worked for, faith. And now what are we seeing? We're seeing the results of faith cultivated in people's lives, reproducing itself and growing. And that's what God wants us to do. Investing the faith that he's given us in others, investing time, resources, finances, all that we have for his glory. So let me ask you this. How will you use what God has given to you? How have you used what God has given to you? In terms of your finances, do you tithe or do you not? Do you give on mission and do you not? Do you tithe of your time or do you not? We had an opportunity yesterday. Many of y'all, thankfully, went out throughout this area. We sent cookies out, and we went to Wiregrass Children's Home, went to the Harbor House, went to some other places that we were at yesterday. Oh, yeah, the Ark. I mean, just all over. Just investing in people, just touching people. Why? Because we've been touched by God. And my prayer certainly is that. Have I been challenged and convicted through this series? I have. Do I want to be used more than how I've been? Of course. Can we be? Absolutely. But you got to make a decision. What matters more, your kingdom or God's? What are you going to invest in more, your garden or the gospel garden? Father, we pray today that you will cause us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And know that when that happens, all those other things that we need will be added to us. Lord, that our priorities would be upon Christ, upon the gospel message, upon the need of our neighbors to know Jesus, the need of Dothan to know Jesus, the need of our nation to be changed by not just to hear the gospel from a stale pulpit, from half-hearted believers, but people that are willing to put what is valuable on the line for what is supremely valuable, the glory of God and the gospel. And Father, we pray now that our hearts would be continually changed and remade so that when people look at us, they go, we have something valuable. And it's not our 401k. It's Jesus. It is Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you saved us. Thank you, Jesus, that you saved me. Now, would you use us, Father, to save a lost world? We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing our hymn of invitation here in just a second. If the Lord has convicted you, the Lord's put anything on your heart, just spend time, just talk to the Lord about some changes that you need to make in your life, about where your priorities are. We'll make these steps a place to do business with God, an altar. If that's want to come and pray and just lean upon him, then we invite you to do that. If you'd like to come and pray with Mike or myself, then you come and you do that. Let's glorify God as we respond.